very different because we had it for so long. Like, when we started it, it was like just a random riff that Amy come up with that's not even in the song now, so lol. And then we played around with that, and then we kind of got this idea of this like hook bit, but we were never happy with it, and it was just never sitting right, because when Liv came up with the and obviously the chorus, we're like, this chorus is too good, and like we kept forgetting about it. I was like, guys, I love that chorus. We need to bring it back. We need that chorus in our lives, okay? So we kept working on it, And then when Harry joined the band, we worked on it again, and it all just started to sit a lot better. And then we basically kind of just got the verse structure and the pre-chorus just to feel that build a little bit more. I was obsessed with the idea of this anti-drop because of Dua Lipa and Charlie Puth, because I'm a little pop slag, like. Can I say that? I can say that, yeah. Okay. So I really wanted to do that. And then after that, we started feeling the energy of the track a lot more. And then we worked with our producer, Pete Robertson, and he helped us just shape it and work with the arrangements a little bit more that we hadn't really thought about. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much. I feel like I'm a news reporter now. Like, hello. It was just kind of one of those, wasn't it, that we had kind of had like a skeletal structure with it, and then just kind of built around it, really. It's like you said, we had the idea for like a couple of months and then just kind of took it from there. It was more so like it kind of wrote itself in the studio, if that makes sense, like the finer details of it.
Yeah. Your job. We normally pick loads of tracks that like inspired like production that we really like. So for this one, we were thinking heavier tracks. Well, actually, when we went to the studio, I was like thinking AM Arctic Monkeys vibes, Dua Lipa kind of pop vocal, and it came out in drop E flat. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know, but I think the more we kind of heard about it, we come in with these ideas, and then with five minds on it, obviously, and six including Tom, who is our mix engineer, we got like all the thoughts about how to build this track and make it as big as possible, and that was kind of making it a bit lower tone, which we originally kind of didn't think it would go, but it sounds sexy, so. Well, do you want to say...
You tell me. I'd love to know.
So Harry joined the band. He is so easy to get on with. He's a really good writer, and he compliments what's going on in the band.
That's my mum in the background. Over.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hi, Mrs. Breen.
Sorry. Mrs. Breen.
Yeah, so when we were writing it... Wait, what am I saying?
Songwriting process, not that.
Yeah, amazing. Harry really compliments the vocal lines and the guitar parts with his drums, highlighting the like really pivotal parts of the songs, like making sure the builds all sound good. Also, he understands the weird stuff we're telling him, because we are not drummers. So we'll be like, you know, do ba da ba boo da da, can you do that? And he's like, yeah, of course. Who else is going to get that?
Every drummer gets that every time they're in the studio. Like the writer will just be like, can you play something that's like boom ba ja? And you're like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
And just like do different fills until eventually it sticks.
Well, honestly, when we first started like being in the studio, drums took ages to get down. And with Harry, it was his first time ever in an actual studio that wasn't someone's bedroom. And the drums got changed majorly. And this was when we were recording our single before, two singles before Monroe, Statues. And Harry just did it straight away. As soon as we were like, okay, can you do this? He straight away got it. There was no stress about it. And it's just made the writing process easier and more fun. Like, we have more fun with it, I feel.
Yeah, like, definitely, especially, like, as another member of, like, the rhythm section, having someone that you can just, like, translate ideas, like, with and just kind of play around with, especially, like, with a new drummer, is exciting, because then you get to learn like how each other works. And I think especially like we just kind of tend to bounce off each other a little bit more and like kind of place accents and stuff like that in like, you know, places that we wouldn't have necessarily done it before, so it's exciting. I'm there by 30.
I hate my mirror. I don't think it's an obligation, because music is music, but when I first started becoming a musician, I was like, I have a very strong political identity personally, and we all do in the band. We're very left-wing. I'm basically a communist, honestly. Actually, no, maybe I am. And like, I just feel in the type of music we're in, we faced so much misogyny that I never expected when I first, you know, began being in the music industry. And I've just become, as I've become older, as I've become a student, as I've become more aware of my own privileges and also the lack of, I have watched and just become a lot more aware, and I've wanted to have that conversation because it makes me feel so much. And music always makes you feel, and it makes me just go, right. I remember with Monroe, it was originally about a dream I had, and then I just realised how much I hated the 2000 entertainment industry and how misogynistic it was, and how the whole idea of women just being completely sexualised and just for no sake, and it just made me so angry that I was like, I want this song and I want this whole campaign to be built around that. And the band, we all agree with it, we all know what's going on, we all know like the politics behind every song, and it's kind of like, okay guys, it's about this. Everyone's like, damn, okay, let's go, you know.
Yeah, like I think like Holly was saying, it's not like an obligation as such, because you write music, you make it whatever you want to make it about. But I do feel like if you have that platform to speak up about issues, then why not take the opportunity to just kind of, you know, make other people's voices that little bit more heard, if nothing else.
So there's kind of two main negatives. And the obvious one is trolls and people being shitty. And
sometimes it's funny though.
It is funny. Like honestly, it got to the point where I do this thing where if someone like insults us, I just repeat their name back to them. So there was this one guy called Robert something, and I just kept going, Robert. And he was like, no, actually, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Robert. And he's like, can you stop doing that? You've got no actual valid points. I was like, Robert. And he's just like, and yeah, sometimes it gets to you. There's some comments that's always just a bit like, but then in the end, firstly, we're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Everyone has a different music taste. A lot of people see self-promotion as a bad thing, as if, like, Metallica didn't throw CDs out at random concerts that weren't even theirs to get attention. Like, I'm not being funny. It's self-promotion. If you're not got a massive label and you've not got money, how else are you going to do it? I'm going to annoy a few people, but I've got even more people to listen to our music.
That's
I'm the best
the
type of people.
Works now, though, isn't it?
Completely.
It's also the thing, like, when it's online, like, if they were in person, they wouldn't say it, do you know what I mean? So there's no point just, like, being asked about it, really.
Literally. And I think the only other one is, like, people kind of not like necessarily using for a platform, but treating us very differently since we've become, like when we were small, like it was very much like, oh wow, they're in a band, and now it's like Crawlers, Holly from Crawlers, da, da, da. And it's just like, nah, just Holly, just live, just you know.
Like even like a few friends have kind of not, obviously, like of course we want to help like people out, but they've kind of taken advantage a little bit and just kind of used it as like trying to, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a dick. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like on the running off the bat, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, where it's just a little bit like, oh, I can profit off of this kind of thing, and it's like,
yeah. I think it's kind of shown who's really, especially the people who've supported us since we were crap. And now, you know what I mean? Like, those people who've really supported us since we were shit, and now they're like, okay, you guys are really good now. I love you guys. And like, not in a way of, oh no, now you're big. It's like they've just watched us from the beginning, and you know, it's really nice. Our family and friends have always supported us, but. Yeah. I guess it does show that some people, like, you know, clout chase. I don't know what car I have. What do you want? I am a student. What do you want from me? It was crazy. It was so crazy. Because we've never played an outside festival before. Neighbourhood has become, like, kind of a pivotal Warrington thing. And obviously, Liv and Amy being from Warrington. Amy went to what? She goes to Neighbourhood every year. Obviously, not because COVID, but...
I mean, she's there today.
She's there today.
Always there.
Shout out Matt standing on the guitar today. Like, so to be able to play for an audience that have known us for a long time since the beginning of our musical careers, and since you and Amy's start of your musical careers, like, especially. And then people come up to us who do not look like the type of people who'd be into our music. Like, look at us, I look like a proper emo. And I was like, pure people, bucket hats going, bro, you were actually so sick. I really wasn't expecting you to be that good. Like, the vibes were just there. And I was like, oh.
Raw.
Saying that, obviously, apparently not everyone there had a Warrington accent. That's just, but you know, it was like.
Was supposed to be Warrington?
No. But it was just, it was so rewarding having a crowd scream back lyrics to you that we wrote in a fucking shed.
God,
what
yeah.
the hell? That's crazy.
It was like, you know that little moment where you're like, I'm not gonna cry.
Yeah. But yeah. So it was crazy. It definitely passed some expectations. I tried to like expect it quite small because we're on the smallest stage, but it definitely surpassed my expectations. It was mad. So we have one last song coming out for our EP. Woo! It's very different from our other stuff. And we'll hopefully be debuting that, obviously, our headline gigs, and it should be coming out around October time. And then after that, we'll should be doing vinyl and stuff, which is crazy. Ah, vinyl, crazy.
And it's literally like the dream, like goal for us, is to like get it on vinyl, and we're doing it.
Yeah, literally. And then after that, it's kind of getting in the studio again and getting some more songs out to you guys, because we've just been constantly writing and constantly like changing. And I feel like we've become a lot more open with our sound now. Like, we started with a very much a standard kind of crawler sound, and now we're expanding to these kind of metal-y genres and these bits softer, like acoustic vibes.
Yeah, we were sort of like
well.
Branching out in like two different directions and sort of honing both writing styles, really.
It's so fun, and I think it's made the musical experience a lot more fun. I feel like we're not, you know, stripped by our boundaries anymore, like of our original legacy. I don't know what legacy that is. The lounge.
Original legacy.
You know, like, we're not kind of bound by that anymore, and we just like feel free to like go, hey guys, listen to this song. I'll come in with an acoustic guitar, be like, look at this song. Or Amy will be like, get on this. It's like fucking drop D.
Yeah, especially because all of us have like got like such different influences. Like, it's just exciting to be able to explore that without being like, oh, I can't bring this to the table because it's not going to sound like what we used to do. And now we're at a point where we're like, does it matter?
Oh, literally. It's nice just to be able to go, guys, I'm not sure about this song. I don't know if it's very cool. And everyone's just like, nah, so let's go for it. And then like doing one the other way. And it's also been to be writing a lot of different ways now.
Yeah.
Like, we write in a way of Amy bringing something to the table, or Liv bringing something to the table. Even Harry having like a drum, like beat and stuff for us to work on, or me bringing like a basic skeleton and being like, help me make this sound big. Yeah.
Harry and I tend to like jam back and forth, like while everyone's setting up, and like we'll come up with a little riff, and then they're like, okay, note that down. And like, we'll come back to that one.
Yeah. It's really enjoyable. Oh, thank you so much.